It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. And joining me here in studio after the Jazz's second loss of this series, second beatdown of this series, I've got Trevor Allen here from KSLSports.com. I also have Austin Facer from KSLSports.com. Jazz lose 118-98. And guys, initial thoughts right after the game. Let's just go with it. Just your initial thoughts. We'll start with Trevor first, Austin second. I won't go third because I've got a special feature that we're going to debut here on the Jazz Notes podcast.
The only positive to take from this is that it wasn't a 32-point loss. That's the only thing I really take from it. It didn't seem like the Jazz's defense really changed a whole lot. I mean, different style changes, different schemes. But all in all, the Rockets still got to do whatever they wanted to do, and they were on fire, and it seemed like that it wasn't slowing down. James Harden was fantastic once again. And it was more around him than it was in game one. And, you know, some other guys did get involved, but it wasn't seven Rocket players scoring in double figures like it was in game one. It was more centric to, you know, four guys.
I think the biggest thing is, like, the Jazz just, they haven't looked like themselves the last couple games at all. Defensively, they've been a mess. That's something they've hung their hat on all season as being a great defensive team. They've allowed over 120 points in both games. They're just not doing the things that made them a great team earlier in the year, and I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay, I'm going to scrap what I was going to do next because I think Austin kind of hit on something right there that I did want to talk about. To me, it's like, where's the Jazz fight right now?
Yeah.
Where is it? I mean, we've heard all season long, especially from Coach Quinn Snyder, that this team's identity is really its defense. And I'm not going to sit there and blame it all on the defense, but it kind of starts there. And as I've heard a lot of guys talk about, and I'm going to speak specifically to Mark Durant. He's the color commentary guy for KSL when we do BYU basketball games. And whenever he'd talk about bad BYU defense, it was always like, you know, to me, because he says, I love defense. It was a lot about heart and hustle, and that's really all it was. It was just going out there and playing as hard as you can, and it just doesn't seem like the Jazz have a lot of fight in them right now. It seems like they're overthinking everything. Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm not in the locker room every single day, but it just seems like they're overthinking everything right now, and they're not going out and playing with a lot of heart or fight in their games against Houston so far.
And to me, the problem for me, the way I look at it, is that maybe the 2-day layoff between game one and game two might have been the problem, because it gives the Jazz coaching staff, it gives the Jazz players a lot to think about in those 2 days when you just lost by 32 points in game one. So then you're looking at it, okay, how do we change this scheme and how do we change this scheme? Okay, this is definitely going to work, and looking at the tape and really, really thinking about it and not really going back to the fact, let's just play our game. Let's just play defense the way that we play defense. And, you know, it kind of seems like, yeah, they have thought about it too much. And sometimes it seems like guys are taking possessions off.
No, I think you're totally right. We say this throughout the game as we watch it. We talk about a certain guy and we say, man, he has not made the trip to Houston. And I think there are just too many guys you can point to on the Jazz, you know, from guy 1 through 12 who has not – or 15, I guess, now, who has just not shown up. Guys like Joe Ingles has kind of been a non-factor. Donovan Mitchell hasn't played great. It's like – this is like a completely different series than the opening round series last year against Oklahoma City when we did see a lot of intensity, when we did see a lot of passion. It's just – it's not there. It's not there.
It almost seems like – you know, back in the days, I'm probably a lot older than you guys. Yes, I am.
Not
a
too
lot
much older.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably a lot older than you think I am. Back in the days, when you talk about something like this, what would happen is you'd find a team that would just get more physical. They'd go out and they play more physical against the team. I think of the Bad Boy Pistons teams from back in the late 80s and the early 90s. I think of the Celtics back in the 80s, too. They didn't mind getting physical when they played the Lakers. I just wonder if the Jazz do that, especially with today's NBA, what are going to be the repercussions? Because I think they could go out and they can get more physical with James Harden, but the league and the NBA and the refs are going to try and protect him as much as possible. I think that'd be a recipe for disaster, too. So I think you can get kind of physical, but I think you just need to see more fire in them in some form or fashion. Just go out and play Jazz basketball. Who cares about the offense right now? Who cares about the defense? Just go out there and play, and you're probably going to win a game at home, at least one game at home. If they keep playing like they are right now, this will be a sweep. And so that's what I think. I think it's just a lot of, I don't want to say a lack of heart, but just a lack of hustle or whatever it is in there right now. They're just not playing like the team, like Austin talked about. They're not playing like the team we've seen play this year.
Well, you know, going off of what you're saying as far as, you know, being more aggressive, physical, the problem is that if you're going to put Harden at the foul line, he's going to knock him down. He lives at the foul line. He's been able to do that. But I'm almost thinking, I kind of want to get your guys' take on this. Do you almost go to the point where, I mean, barring James Harden dropping 60 points, do you kind of just let him do his thing but shut down everybody else and kind of just go one, you know, just have one guy straight up guard James Harden, have that help side, but, you know, but then you kind of go into, you know, the lob and things like that, but really take away everybody else, take away Capella, take away Paul, take away Tucker, all of those guys, and just kind of let James Harden, as long as he doesn't go off for 60 or 70 points?
No, I think like it's gonna be, that would be an interesting thing to try out. I think the thing about that though is like it's so ingrained in the Jazz to kind of to help out on defense at times. Like when Gobert is gonna slide over just by muscle memory every time, and that's gonna open up Capella for an easy lob. You know, I think to do that they're gonna have to break some habits that they've formed all season long, which has been, you know, playing good team defense. The team defense isn't there at all. Period. So.
Well,
no, I think they're in a really tough spot.
Well,
right now.
If you know the Jazz were breaking habits, they're breaking habits away from playing good defense because they haven't been doing that in the first two games of this series. You know, if you're going to be playing, you know, the way that you have been playing defense all along, you're not allowing the Rockets to go off for 120 points without them really earning it.
I would say the best thing you can do, and that I think what Austin, yeah, I think Austin is on to something. I agree with actually both of you. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay if you let James Harden try and beat you by himself. If he gets 60, great, but you don't want the other guys to get off. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. I think defensively, the best thing you can do, and yes, I know college basketball is different than NBA basketball. I totally get it. I totally get it that James Harden is a once-in-a-generation type of player. But the biggest comparison I could get is when I used to watch, because I used to do pregame, postgame for BYU basketball games, and when I watched BYU play St. Mary's, St. Mary's played this specific type defense, kind of like with James Harden. They would let the BYU guards drive to the basket, but you didn't find a lot of help. They trusted that guy to recover and to make a play to make sure that that guy wouldn't get to the basket. And they would close all the passing lanes out to the three-point shooters. Now, yes, that is way easier said than done, because everything you're taught in basketball is if your guy gets beat, you yell help, someone slides over, and that leaves someone else open. And right now, that's what's killing the Jazz in this series. That's really what's killing the Jazz. They're at least on the defensive end. We can talk about the whole offensive end a little bit later, but that's really what's killing them on defense right now. But it's on both sides of the ball. It's not just defense right now that's killing the Jazz against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, and you know, just as you were saying, I mean, you're not going to win a lot of playoff games when you're shooting 39 of 98 from the field for 39% and 8 for 38 from downtown 21%. The Rockets on the flip side, 47% from the field and 40% from downtown. You're not going to win a lot of playoff games just off of that alone. And, you know, so basically you've got to be, you know, sound on offense, but you also can't be turning the ball over. Like, we, you know, started the game, it was four turnovers turned into points, and the Jazz had, let's see, they had 12 turnovers, which, you know, doesn't seem like a lot, but that was what kind of fired up the Rockets and started their run.
I think the turnovers were kind of an interesting story in the game, too, because they had, you're right, they had those four really early turnovers, and I think they were able to, you know, to keep it under 12, to at 12 this time. I think that was a consequence of them playing more timid, though, on offense. You know, I think we saw the Rockets were a little bit looser. They ended up turning the ball over more, but they put the ball in the hoop more. And they were willing to take shots that maybe seemed a little strange, but they were hot. Those shots were going in. And they were, you know, it's a make-or-miss league, and tonight the Rockets were making them, and the Jazz just were not.
Wait, did you just use make-or-miss league?
I did, yeah. Not a fan of that?
No.
Not a lot of people are.
It's cliche.
It is, but you know what? It's so true.
Sadly, we fall back into cliches a lot.
We do, yeah, we do.
This is not a cliche. Here's what we're going to try and do. Now, not a cliche, but I'm going to admit, I ripped this off from somewhere else, but I'm not going to tell where. Anyway, we're going to use our double rainbow guy. Remember double rainbow guy? Yeah, the double rainbows, he saw him out in his front yard, and he went crazy, and this is what he exclaimed next.
What does this mean?
That's right. What does this mean? So we're going to use double rainbow guy, and I'm going to ask you two some questions about what does this mean. So
what does this mean?
What does it mean that the Jazz gave up on playing that funky defense against James Harden? We'll go with Austin first this time.
I think it means, I just think it means that they recognized it wasn't working, but I think in the end, I think James Harden had the last laugh. He was able to show that, you know, if you're going to not let me do the step-back jumper in game one, I'll beat you another way. If you're going to give it to me in game two, I'll beat you that way. And we saw him take multiple step-back jumpers and drain them all game.
For me, it means that Quinn Snyder is going through his, you know, book of tricks for defense of how to guard guys from his days at Duke and, you know, the Spurs, like all of his stops, you know, coaching under great coaches. And just trying to find a way to just slow him down, because you're not going to stop James Harden, plain and simple. You're not going to. But I think it means that Quinn's trying to find different ways to attack him defensively, and right now he's coming up empty.
I'd probably also add, and it kind of goes along with what we'd say earlier. First of all, I don't think they have the guys to play this defense. Mm-hmm. I think Milwaukee plays it better. I know the Jazz have played it effectively in the past, but I think right now they just don't have the guys to do it. So it's just like, let's scrap it again, let's go back to defense. We're just going to play our regular defense, and we're going to see how it happens, because that's what got us here. So let's just do that, and we'll see where it goes. All right, next up.
What does this mean?
What does it mean that Ricky Rubio and James Harden got nose to nose in the third quarter ever so briefly? What does it mean, Trevor?
Yeah, I saw that.
It means that they're trying to find every which way to get under Harden's skin. Every which way, just to try and get him maybe out of his own mind, you know, to focus on something else rather than attacking and scoring and just being brilliant offensively. To me, that is what it means. I mean, I wish it turned into a little bit more than that, but I guess
pushing and shoving, is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, I mean,
a little fisticuffs. Well, maybe not that far.
Well,
but
there is a reason why you end up bringing in Allen. You drafted Grayson Allen, have him trip him up, have him ejected or something. And again, I'm not trying to force like violence here, but you know, a guy who doesn't really play that much, get him in, take him off, you know?
I think it means the opposite. I think it means Harden is living rent-free in the Jazz mind right now. I thought that was Harden kind of, you know, Harden got close enough to Rubio where you couldn't really make out what he was saying, but I'm sure he was whispering in his ear, "Hey man, I've got your number. I've had your number tonight and the night before." So
I think it means to me that it's good to see Ricky Rubio, you know, care about something, that he really wants to win. This is only his second playoff series ever in his NBA career. It's either that, or it means that they were actually going back and forth and discussing beard grooming techniques.
Could be.
That's the only other thing that I could come up with. All right.
What does this mean?
What does it mean that Donovan struggled for the second night in a row? Austin, you want to go first this time?
I think he's playing a little bit of hero ball right now, and I think that's ultimately not looking like what he should be doing. I think he's forcing too much. He doesn't look very poised. You know, last year the story on him was that he doesn't look like a rookie. He's playing so well. this year, I think he's a little too into his own head and trying to force a little too much.
Trevor?
Donovan's thinking too much about it. He's trying to think too much about what the Rockets are going to do rather than just playing his own game, attacking the basket, doing his own thing of what has gotten him to this point as far as his stardom. Because in the playoffs last year, he was playing loose because he was a rookie. He didn't know what it was like to play in the playoffs. Now that he knows what it's like to play in the playoffs and, you know, playing a really good team in the Rockets, you're trying to figure out how you're gonna score against them. Donovan's thinking too much, and there are times where he's just hoping and praying that three ball goes in, and it hasn't been in the first two games.
I think it kind of means to me that I don't know. I don't think it's not that he doesn't trust players. I'm not sure he really trusts his feel for the game right now, going off of what you're saying. I think it also kind of means that the Rockets have kind of figured him out. Mm-hmm. They know how to play him. They want him to drive to the basket, and they want him to either try and challenge, or they want him to try and pass, because they're feeling pretty confident right now that they are going to be able to stop Donovan Mitchell. All right, just a few more.
What does this mean?
What does it mean that Kyle Korver can't even get on the floor right now? We'll start with you, Trevor.
It means Kyle Korver's injured, plain and simple. He's you know, trying to play on an injury at his age. I think right now you're more banking, you know, off of his injury. You're banking more off of his veteran leadership in the locker room, trying to, you know, show some of these younger guys how to handle these certain types of spots that, you know, they're in. And really you're just trying, you know, putting him in for those short minutes, hoping that maybe you can get a spark out of him. But he only played 2 minutes and shot the ball once and it was blocked. So I think that Quinn Snyder's trying to limit him as far as his injury, but you really got to put it a lot of it's on the injury, and that you're hoping that, you know, the very short time that he is on the floor, that you could get maybe a 3-pointer or two out of it.
No, I think you're totally right. I'm just looking at his game log here. I think something's a little off with Korver. I think he's in a middle of a cold spell. He missed the last few games of the regular season. I mean, who knows how many shots he's able to get up in practice. I think the man is injured, and I think his shot isn't where he usually likes it to be.
Whether it's injury or something else, there's something going on. Maybe it's because he can't get open, he can't get a shot off, and if that's the case, you can't have him on the floor. So I'll defer to you guys on that one. Finally, last one.
What does this mean?
What does it mean that Clint Capella is looking like the best defender on the floor for the second postseason in a row against the Utah Jazz? Austin, you want to lead us off on this one?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what we talked about with Donovan, though, how his aggressiveness has really limited what the Jazz do on offense. I mean, the Jazz offense revolves so much around Donovan being aggressive and the pick and roll, and neither one of them is working, and Rudy's not able to get that openness that he usually gets for those easy dunks. So I think as a team, the Jazz are not playing great offense, and it's making Gobert look bad, which in turn makes Capella look really good.
The way I look at it is that Clint has a chip on his shoulder, plain and simple. I mean, he's looking at it as, you know, whenever national guys and, you know, the media talk about the Jazz, they're always talking about Rudy's defense. Obviously, they're talking about Donovan Mitchell, but Rudy Gobert is, you know, he's winning awards for his defense, and Clint Capella's saying, hey, what about me? And, you know, trying to be that, you know, second guy for the Houston Rockets. And so I think that he's also looking back at what he did last year in the second round to Rudy Gobert, which was absolutely dominated him. And I think he's trying to, you know, duplicate that.
I really can't argue with you. I think it goes back to that heart and hustle. And I think you see a lot of that from Clint Capella right now. And maybe he's doing something to rev himself up because he is playing Rudy Gobert. And he's like, dude, I'm way better than you. I'm younger than you. I can get higher than you. I'm just a better player than you. I don't know if he's doing that, but it sure seems like it, and it's sure bringing him out and fired up.
Too much. That's what it means.
All right. Too much talk about the Jazz game tonight after they lost by 20. I think that everything that we could cover about this game has been done. I think stuff for the postseason, that's going to come in later podcasts, and what I mean by that is what the Jazz are going to do in the offseason, I should say. What's going to happen in Game 3? We'll have extra podcasts coming up later this week. Anything you guys want to say as we close out this version of the Jazz Notes podcast?
Let's just plug KSLSports.com.
All of our coverage is right there. But, Jazz fans, Pac Vivint Smart Home Arena, Game 3. The Jazz are going to need you.
Yeah, they're going to need something. The Jazz need something going into this last game. Donovan Mitchell needs something. Wore new shoes tonight. Didn't quite work.
They looked good, though. They were definitely the best colorway of the Dons.
They were definitely a lot better than the first ones in Game 1.
Not trying to rip on the Jazz Twitter handle, because I know who works there, but it was kind of telling that at the end of the first quarter, that was their tweet was, hey, here are Donovan's shoes that he's wearing tonight, and it was 39-19 in favor of the Rockets. That was not a rip on them. It was more of what positive can we talk about right now, because they're playing terribly. So we'll have more Jazz Notes podcast coming up Thursday, Friday. Also, we'll have a recap after Saturday night's game. Make sure you stay tuned to the Jazz Notes podcast. Download us. Make sure you check out stuff on kslsports.com. Trevor and Austin are doing awesome work. So is Jeremiah down in Houston. We got it all covered here for you right here on KSL.